From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with a local and statewide news update. There's going to be an Alaska cruise season after all, but it's a far cry from the 1.4 million passengers that were expected before the pandemic hit. Over the weekend, the Wilderness Adventure, a 60-passenger boat, left Juneau on a week-long trip. There will be four more trips just like it this summer. After that, the next sailing of any kind on the books isn't until 2021. For one company, it's a test run of what tourism in Southeast Alaska could be in the future. KTOO's Jennifer Pemberton reports.
It's not just a little bit ironic that the lone company doing ship-based trips from Juneau this year is called UnCruise. Back in April, when the first cruise ship of the season should have arrived in Juneau, the season had been pushed back till at least July, but hundreds of thousands of passengers still had tickets for those trips. But there was so much up in the air for a small company like UnCruise back then that CEO Dan Blanchard didn't even want to talk about the season. But over the past 3 months, he came up with a plan. And now UnCruise's ship, the Wilderness Adventurer, is the only one sailing this year at all. Five round-trip cruises starting and ending in Juneau. The first one is set to leave tomorrow.
And how do you feel about tomorrow? Do you have anxiety about this trip?
Of course. I always feel a little anxious the date the first boat goes out, whether it's in April or on August 1st. And, you know, back when there were four or five other small ship companies that were going to be here locking arms with us, it was a little easier. But now, as we're the only one and you're in the spotlight, that kind of builds its own anxiety.
Blanchard is wearing an UnCruise branded face mask, just like all of the passengers will be issued. There's plenty of mitigation in place. Each trip this summer will have only 37 guests. That's more than a 40% reduction from normal. And all passengers have to get tested for COVID-19 before they come to Alaska, and they've been asked to book their flights for the same day that the ship leaves. There will be temperature checks for everyone on the boat every day, there's no more buffets, and most of the meals this summer will be boxed up to go, rather than served in a dining room. UnCruise has always done things differently from other cruise lines. They're high-end, with customers who want trips focused on adventure and wilderness. Passengers get off the boat to go birding or watch bears eating salmon or go sea kayaking in front of a glacier.
Our whole thing is be safe by not only good COVID practices, but get out in the wilderness in small groups and socially distance in small groups. So to do that, we brought on extra expedition staff, even though our numbers are greatly reduced.
UnCruise isn't the only small ship operator in Alaska. There were others trying to pull off what Blanchard's doing this summer. But ultimately, the city assemblies of port communities in Southeast Alaska just couldn't get on the same page about what they would or could require of small ship cruises. And so UnCruise decided its trips would only dock in Juneau and make other stops in uninhabited places.
In those early assembly meetings, the community was very concerned about the boat goes out, it visits four or five small towns, and then comes back, and what's the potential there? And so we saw that writing on the wall and realized, well, you're talking about what we are. Yeah.
In other words, UnCruise, with its flexible itinerary, is built for social distancing. And it wasn't hard to find customers. Lots of UnCruise passengers still wanted to do their Alaska dream vacations this summer. Blanchard says he only had to issue refunds to 13% of his customers this year. The rest are either booked on these five trips or took vouchers for 2021. Back in April, Blanchard, like everyone else, wasn't looking very far into the future. But now he's starting to make plans, not just for the rest of the season and not just for 2021, but also for, like, the future, a future where he knows the tourism industry will have been transformed by this pandemic.
If I were reading the writing on my crystal ball, I would say that there's going to be more demand for small vessels like ours under 100 passengers than less.
But for now, it's still one day at a time. Juneau's only sunny spell of the summer is about to come to an end.
It's going to rain hard tonight.
At least the few hundred cruise ship passengers that do come this year will get to experience Juneau's infamous weather. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jennifer Pemberton.
As part of the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act, Congress appropriated $100 million earlier this year to help tribes cope with housing and sanitation issues during the coronavirus pandemic. As KCAW's Aaron McKinstry reports, the funding is helping some Southeast Alaska communities combat existing issues that the pandemic has only made worse.
Finding affordable housing in Southeast Alaska is a challenge even during normal times.
You know, there's such extreme overcrowding, which is our way of dealing with homelessness.
That's Jackie Peta, president and CEO of the Tlingit and Haida Regional Housing Authority. They're the tribally designated housing entity for 12 Southeast Alaska tribes.
People in the villages aren't really homeless. They just join another family or another home.
But during the pandemic, there are extra fears. Fears that the coronavirus could spread quickly in overcrowded, multi-generational households where access to clean water and sanitation can be limited. So the Housing Authority worked with all 12 tribes to apply for a pot of federal housing and urban development money designated by the CARES Act. So far, 9 of those tribes have been awarded funding. Peta says they tried to propose projects that would have a lasting impact.
So I really feel like we're on the forefront of trying to be making sure the money is being used in a way that it will have an ongoing benefit rather than just being, you know, a shot in the dark that's just for a moment in time.
Alaska tribes have received around a third of what's been dispersed so far nationwide. This is just one piece of the funding puzzle for tribes to address the impacts of the pandemic. But it's an important one, says Alaska HUD Director Colleen Bickford.
You know, it's going to hopefully improve the overall health and healthy homes across the state.
She says the money is for projects that address immediate threats to the health and safety of tribal citizens caused by the pandemic. That could include everything from building new apartments to creating quarantine space to fixing community water lines. And although infrastructure projects can take time, the money is being distributed as part of an existing program. Bickford says she's confident the projects will move quickly.
This program is not new with the CARES Act. It's been a program that's been widely used in Alaska previously, so it's a well-oiled engine on getting that funding into the hands of the community.
One of the largest tribes in the region says it's the smaller communities that face the most need.
Right now, we're hearing more and more cases in our villages, so we're worried about that.
Richard Peterson is the president of the Central Council of the Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska.
Juneau is also a regional hub, so I know people are reaching out even from the village asking us what we can do to help with housing issues and isolation and quarantine.
That tribe has received $1.5 million to build affordable housing to address overcrowding in Juneau. It's also working on a youth homeless shelter in Juneau. Currently, Juneau doesn't have one. Peterson says he sees these projects and others they've used CARES Act funding for, like an emergency response center, as part of a broader effort to increase emergency preparedness and resilience in the communities they serve across Southeast.
We're building ourselves so that we will be able to respond, that we'll be able to be a resource for our communities to carry them through any, whether it's a fire or it's a tsunami or, you know, lack of ferry service, which I think we're going to see, you know, again this winter.
The final round of funding is expected to be completed by the end of August. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Erin McKinstry.
The Juneau Assembly has approved a ballot question seeking $15 million in new debt to pay for city infrastructure projects. Monday's assembly action means that in the October 6th municipal election, local voters will be asked to authorize the debt. The money should be spent on school roofs, improvements to parks, city streets, and energy efficiency projects. The assembly also approved $12 million in spending from its share of Federal CARES Act pandemic relief money. Most of it is earmarked for grant programs for small businesses and nonprofits. $500,000 is going to the Medevac Service Airlift Northwest, and a little bit is going to the Alaska Municipal League. The Assembly's Human Resources Committee also met Monday. It discussed a revised version of Assemblymember Rob Edwardson's ordinance to create a Systemic Racism Review Committee. The committee members all expressed appreciation for the ordinance and its revisions. Its next stop is the Assembly's Committee of the Whole on August 10th. The committee also reviewed an anti-racism resolution drafted by the Juneau Human Rights Commission. The commission intends to revise it and bring the resolution back to the committee. This is KTOO News.